Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris. His name's Craig. I don't know what else could be going well for Pirates fans. I don't know what else you could be looking for because you're off to a hot start. Things are falling into place. I mean, you can nitpick. You could sit there, Craig, and you could be like, well, I mean, Henry Davis only hitting 133. You're like, Mitch Keller's putting on too many guys on base right now. Like, that whip is a little bit too high. You can hem and haw about the fact that Michael A. Taylor wasn't in the lineup as many times you wanted him to be over the weekend, but the guy joined the team pretty late and you want him for the whole season. I'm more impressed by all the little switches and levers and things that needed to go right, that needed to be pulled a certain way or pushed over here. Everything seems to have gone overall the way that it needed to go for Ben Cherington's plan to get off on the right foot to start off this season. And when you see a guy like Connor Joe hitting 324 with a 985 OPS and getting 45 plate appearances to this point, and then you see him getting the same amount, if not more plate appearances than a lot of the other guys who you might think of as more starters. The way that they're rotating guys in, the way that they're getting at bats for people, the way that they're, it's almost like, hey, it's so-and-so's day off, or it's time to set up this way for a pitcher. Everything seems to be falling into place where everybody as a whole is performing right out of the gate, and it will not last like this all year. They are not going to win at this clip all year long. But this is how you want to start a season, right? Like, this is how you want to get out the gate, because we said this, get out the gate good, and when the reinforcements show up, you're a contender. And that's what you need to have happen to kick off the year.
Yeah, people get upset about the little things. Like you said, Michael A. Taylor not being in the lineup. I mean, forcing Derek Shelton to come out and basically say, okay, I actually played him more than I wanted to at the beginning of the season. And we all know that Derek Shelton and Donnie Kelly sit down weeks in advance and put these lineups together. But it's like his bat was so hot, we had to get him in there. But we're going to give him days off because he had about, I don't know, 8 days in our spring training. He's 30-some years old. And, you know, we're going to give him some days off. And we have it built in now that there are enough outfielders, you know, with Brian Reynolds, with Jack Swinski, Edward Olivares, Connor Joe playing some DH, outfield, first base. You have those types of reinforcements. You're able to give, you know, Kutch a couple days off because he, as we mentioned last week, didn't get a lot of at-bats in spring training either because, you know, just some nagging injuries and age. And they're giving, you know, Brian Reynolds is getting like a DH day today. Ono Cruz getting an extra day off. Things that, you know, Shelton is looking like this genius because, like, no matter what string he pulls, like, different things start to work. And the same thing with, like, Mitch Keller. Like, Mitch Keller had, you know, a couple bad starts, you know, stuff that we had mentioned. And he did have a better start and a more Mitch Keller-like start. But the other part that you're having to deal with, Chris, is people coming out of the woodwork, especially our, you know, wonderful Pirates flagship station, 93.7 The Fan, coming out and going, I knew this wasn't a bargain because Keller's not a number two. And look what he's doing in the first two games and stuff like that. But you should really listen to shows like ours where we say Keller is one of the five guys. We don't know where he's going to fall in there. Mitch Keller, you know, he is somebody who during the offseason and as of last year started throwing a newer pitch, the cutter. The cutter has come back in baseball. The reason the cutter has come back in baseball, there was a big article from Fangraphs last year, go look it up, is because guys were using so much of their sweepers and their sliders and their curveballs. And the cutter does not put as much like torque or, you know, wear and tear on that elbow. It hasn't been working for Mitch Keller, but I think it's a pitch he's still going to try to mix in because everybody wants to see that velo from Keller that he learned about at Tread Athletics and throwing 100 miles an hour. And they want to see, you know, him throw this wipeout slider and his curveball and all these different pitches. But you also saw Dowry Moretta, who throws an absolute like mind-bending ball that goes the opposite direction of his hand, now undergoing Tommy John surgery. And you can't like you can't have it both ways. You can't be like, well, Mitch Keller's velo's down and you know this cutter isn't working. Well, they need to tweak some of that stuff, but you can't have it go away completely. And you also, Mitch Keller is becoming a pitcher, not a thrower. He's becoming a guy who can find that middle ground and he can say, where can I pinpoint this pitch where I'm not throwing it at max effort every single time, but I'm still able to get those outs and I'm still able to pitch effectively. Yes, the cutter wasn't working. You should probably ditch it to a certain degree, but I don't see him getting rid of it completely. I still see him working on it. And there may be some games where it's like, man, that cutter's looking really good for him. It's going to be depending on matchups, depending on, you know, how he's feeling that day. And that's going to be up to the catcher, you know, and Henry Davis and now Joey Bart, Jason DeLay, if he comes back to realize, hey dude, that pitch isn't working today. Let's not lean on it as much. But let's just not also throw, you know, 10 curveballs or 10 sliders in a row just because we know the effect that has on pitchers' arms. I mean, Chris, Keller looked good. Keller, if he looks, you know, serviceable as to what he looked like, and I'm not the word serviceable, but he looked more than serviceable yesterday, quality start. If he starts to look like more like that Mitch Keller and less like the first two starts, then I don't really care what number you assign him. He's a major league quality pitcher, and he becomes the major league quality pitcher that he was for the second half of 2022 and the majority of 2023.
He's only making an average of $15.4 million a year for 5 years. When you look at his contract, and if you look at what pitchers with ability that would sit somewhere in the top three of most contending rotations were making this offseason, he was a good deal, okay? If you're expecting to get a guy who is one of the top five pitchers in baseball at that money, well, then you're delusional, all right? He's making what he's probably worth. That's what he is. And what I'm looking at with him is his fielding independent pitching right now. Because I want to find some kind of hope, right? Because I hate the whip. I think, you know, he's almost at 1.6 right now. That's terrible for a starter. That's the first thing that bothers me, right? He's given up 10 earned runs in three starts to date. His ERA is a 5.29. None of that's good. But his fielding independent pitching is a 3.41, which indicates to me some of the defense behind him hasn't been perfect, and he's had a little bit of bad luck. Let's give him more than three games before we start yelling about Mitch Keller. I feel positive about the guy still, and he is one of a group that may end up being a foursome of guys you're going to have under control for many years with Jared Jones, Paul Skeens, Quinn Priester, all guys that are going to be part of this for the next couple of years. And the other three guys aren't going to cost you very much money at all. So when you take those four guys and you spread out Keller's money, think of it more that way. You're buying a stable of young pitchers, and you couldn't let a guy like Mitch Keller walk out the door because it gives way too many questions to your pitching staff, and you are in far more trouble this year out of the gate. I don't know if you get out of this gate, even with the way he's performing. You're not as strong of a team if you didn't turn around and give him the contract that you gave him, not only for this year, but for years beyond. So I'm not three games with him with an elevated ERA and an elevated whip when I see a good, solid, not perfect, but good, solid fielding independent pitching number from him. and looking at his last start, I'm not concerned yet. I'm really not. Sometimes I think we get too fantasy baseball with these guys. Sometimes I think we have a really hard time accepting that they're human beings and that different factors occur. And that's why you look at the entire year when you're looking at a player. Because if you're looking at the stats right now on this team and you honestly believe that Michael A. Taylor is going to be a 429 batting average all year, you're nuts. His baseball card says that isn't going to happen. He's off to a hot start. So you know, you can't get overexcited about a small sample size, and you can't get over upset about a small sample size either. Let's give him a couple of months. The only stat that really matters right now for the Pittsburgh Pirates is that as we sit here and we're talking, they're 9-2. They're 3-1 at home, 6-1 on the road, 8 out of their last 10, sitting on top of the division, off to a hot start. We know there's young pitching that's coming this year. We know that a lot of these young hitters that are off to hot starts have the potential to have very good seasons, and the few guys that are kind of floundering, I'm not that concerned about right now, because either they're older, like Andrew McCutchen, and I didn't expect him to make it through the whole year. They're guys that have demonstrated that they have a value even if their batting average is down, like Jack Sawinski. Or they're a young guy in Henry Davis who I don't think is going to sit at 130 all year long. So I like at this point, I'm just looking at the record and the fact that overall the team is playing well, and I go back to what I said on the last show, get off to a hot start, have a winning record to 500 at the absolute worst by the time that the rest of this group is ready to go and the rest of these reinforcements show up and the sky is the limit for this team. They're doing better than my worst case scenario for them, which is the 500 record. We got a couple of comments too. People were mad at me for saying that. You're shooting too low, 500 out of the gate. I take 500 out of the gate knowing what's coming. I'll take 8-2, 9-2 right now, knowing what's coming, and feel really cocky at this point. I mean, I'm cocky on before we've even gotten through halfway through April, early April. We got early April cockiness right now about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay. But you and I know, after watching baseball for as long as we've watched it, there's bad on the way. There's good, there's bad, there's peaks, there's valleys. It's 162 games. Don't overreact to something good or overreact to something bad. Look at the whole.
Yeah, and the piece with the Keller, you know, extension is that, I mean, we've talked about this with the last two extensions that were handed out with Brian Hayes and with Brian Reynolds, and people jumping to it and talking about the fact that they want to see everybody overperform their contracts to a ridiculous extent, to the point where we're actually almost like underpaying them or stealing, you know, from those types of players. So yeah, I can't get upset about any of this types of stuff. I'm excited. And like you said, but I'm also, I wouldn't say even last year when, you know, when they were 20-8, would I move off my, I think it was 72 or 70 game, you know, prediction for wins. Somebody asked me, well, you predicted 80 wins on X at the beginning of the season. Are you moving off of that? And I'm like, I'm hopeful that it would be higher than that, but it's a long season. I mean, we see teams that are going to be terrible, you know, get out to hot starts. Teams that are going to be good get off to bad starts. That's why it is a marathon and not a sprint. But yeah, I mean, look at like Brian Reynolds. Brian Reynolds last night, going into last night's game when I was watching it, I think was hitting like 2-something with his OPS under 800. Like how quickly that can change, where people's mindsets are like, okay, well, Brian Reynolds hit his, you know, 100th home run of his career. Congratulations to Brian on that. Has a couple hits. He's hitting 250 and his OPS is over, you know, 800 again. That's why when it's like, I look at stuff, I'm just like, okay, let me see their first 100 plate appearances.
Yeah.
Them get me to 250. Then give me to 300, you know, and start looking at when it becomes a pattern and what type of player they are going to become, instead of looking at like 25 to 50 plate appearances and saying, you know, this is what this guy is going to be for the season. It just really doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, God, I mean, Jared Triolo, anytime that guy doesn't get a hit, they're saying like send him back down to the minors. But then as soon as he gets like two or three hits, his average is back up again and people are quiet. I mean, I know it is like, what have you done for me lately? But this early on in the season, it's just like, okay, how is the team performing overall? How are they reacting to the adversity of being down throughout entire games? Are they, you know, a lot of times, like I said last week, and it rings true again this week, is if you're down by a few runs and it's towards the end of the game, before it'd be like, man, I'll watch the end of this game, but I know how this is going to turn out. Well, so far this season for the Pirates, they haven't given up. You don't know how the game is going to turn out. And it is like must see, you know, viewing TV for Pirates fans for the entirety of the game. And it's fun. I mean, enjoy it. I've said this 100 times and I can't believe I'm trying to tell people to enjoy, you know, a 9-2, what could become a 10-2 start after their game against the Tigers today, and telling people to enjoy that. But oh my God, if you're not enjoying that, like, I don't know, just wait around and then like jump on all of us when they're back down to 500 again. I don't know.
Here's the thing. Don't get yourself too hung up on the individual stats too. Like, there is no such team in baseball where everybody's hitting 275 or higher. There's that, where like everybody in the middle of the order is hitting 300, where everybody's clicking at the exact same time. You find a team like that, that team is up by 20 games. That team is a juggernaut. That team is something that like other teams are just sitting around saying, I don't even know why we're playing. And, you know, I go back to, I just actually watched it the other night. I don't know why. I don't know how I landed on it, but I was watching Bull Durham. I remember when Kevin Costner's character, Crash Davis, is explaining the difference between a 250 hitter and a 300 hitter. It's like one extra hit a week. That's it. One little snort, one little dribbler, one little seeing eye single. And that's the difference between a guy who's hitting 250 and a guy who's hitting 300. So early on in the season, I think we need to just, with everything, we need to just sit there and say, okay, overall, are they performing as a team? Yes, they are. Do I see some guys I'd like to see play a little bit better? Sure. Do I see some guys out there playing well above their skis? You bet I do. There are a couple guys out there right now that are performing at a level that if they would have done that their entire career, they wouldn't be on the Pirates right now. If Connor Joe was a career 324 hitter with a career 985 OPS, you wouldn't be able to afford him. You would have been Bryce Harper in the free agent market. So everybody calm down a little bit about getting too high or getting too low. Enjoy what you're seeing out there.
Are you a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates and supporting small businesses? If so, Bucks in the Basement has you covered. Introducing the Bucks in the Basement Vouch Store, with products from places like Split Rock Coffee. Coffee with a purpose. Established, owned, and operated by disabled veterans sworn to protect America. Or Camp Craft Cocktails, more than cocktails. It's a mission to build longer tables where everyone is welcome. We try and vouch for these products. Bucks in the Basement, proudly brought to you by Vouch. Visit our Vouch store at bucksinthebasement.com or simply click on the link in the show notes.
And one of the things that I think Pirates fans should enjoy as well, at least for now, I'm going to knock on the wood of the bar right here as much as possible. They should enjoy the fact that they're not caught up in all of these pitching injuries, because they're everywhere, Craig. They're absolutely everywhere. And you and I play fantasy baseball, and it's like we spent the entire offseason like figuring out who are going to be our big leaders on our fantasy baseball team. And there are guys that are just losing big name pitchers left and right that are not going to be able to pitch this season because of the Tommy John and all the other elbow problems and everything like that. And Justin Verlander just came out with something that I really found interesting. He was asked during a minor league rehab start. He was asked about the rash of pitcher injuries. And if you could find this thing online, I know I think I might have retweeted it through my personal account. If I didn't, I will. I know Craig will probably put it out there at some point on his X account or something like that. He went through his feeling, his theory. It was very interesting. And it was very well thought out. You could tell that he talked to Max Scherzer about a lot of this when they were sitting on the bench with each other. Like, this is something that older pitchers are talking about. And it was very insightful, the idea that the way that guys learn how to pitch now, the way that the majority of pitchers in Major League Baseball were brought up, is how much rotation can I get? How hard can I throw the ball? 12 months out of the year, they're working out. It's all about getting an extra 2-3 miles per hour. And there was never that kind of strain put on an arm before. And because of the analytics, I thought this was really interesting, because of the analytics telling you that generally the third time through, most pitchers aren't that good, every team is looking for an excuse to get you out by the time you get to that third time through. So nobody's incentivized to go 7 or 8 or 9. Nobody takes care of their body that way. Everybody's just trying to burn it in there. And it's putting a strain on the human body, and it's causing more injuries. You know, I always tell this story, and I'll let you jump in here after I'm done. I always tell this story about this kid that I knew when I was younger. I was the same age as his older brothers, and he was a younger kid. Like, I mean, I would say I was probably at the end of high school, and he was probably only 10 or 11 years old. And his dad loved the idea that he could have a kid that might go play college ball and maybe even in the pros. And this kid was great. He was like one of those kids that you knew about in the neighborhood was great. I stood in there and he threw a pitch by me where he made the laces turn into a little red dot to mock me because I couldn't figure out how to hit the thing. He could throw curveballs and screwballs and sliders, and he could pump up his arm to throw the thing by you, and he was throwing straight gas, and he was always in every tournament. And you know what? His arm was toast by the time he was in high school. He never played college ball, and I think he works on a construction site right now, and his dreams are gone. And I think I always used to point to that as, man, we push them way too hard when they're young with all this travel ball and stuff like that. And now what we're telling pitchers is, you're going to get drafted. You're going to make it into the majors. And Verlander was saying this, you're going to get in if you can throw it really hard. You don't need to have a lot of skill. You don't need to know how to get batters out. We'll teach you that after we've signed the deal with you. But you'll get your foot in the door because you throw 101 or at least 98. And when you've made these kids like aspire to that, because they all want to be major leaguers. They all want to make it to the majors. So if you tell them the blueprint to make it to the majors is to kill your shoulder from a young age all the way through getting into the majors, they show up with these problems. And then they're just a matter of time before something happens. And that's why you see so many hurt pitchers, Craig.
Yeah, and I had mentioned to you before the show when we were talking about this, when we talked about Verlander, I said there was a very like similar tweet from Alex Wood basically saying that, you know, 10, 12 years ago, whenever they were done with the season, I mean, they put the ball down until like the first of the new year. I mean, they just really didn't do a whole lot. But now guys, like you said, are going to the places like the Drive Lines, the Tread Athletics. And a lot of that stuff is getting pumped into us. I mean, even from like Mitch Keller, when he came back in, what was it, 2022, and he had all those videos out there of being at Tread Athletics and getting up over 100. But it wasn't until he like really learned how to pitch. Like he struggled for the first half of that year, got thrown to the bullpen until he really learned how to pitch. Like that, I don't know what, I mean, that might have done something for his confidence. But in the end, like he also spent that entire time during that offseason throwing all of these pitches and throwing as hard as he could before he even got to the season. So like, yeah, I mean, the number of guys, I mean, the Pirates have seen, you know, Johan Oviedo with the Tommy John, Michael Burrows with the Tommy John, Dowry Moretta now with the Tommy John, JT Brubaker, who was traded with the Tommy John. And I mean, there was talk about how, you know, this is a Pirates problem more than it's a Major League Baseball problem. Well, man, look throughout the minors and the majors and the guys that have gone down this year. No, it's a Major League Baseball problem. And like you said, Chris, the number of kids that are on however many different teams, I mean, I know I'm an assistant coach for my son's little league team, and I had a kid who is on a travel ball team as well as an AAU team. And he said he wasn't going to pitch in little league. And the coach was like, "You're a really good pitcher." And he's like, "But I got to watch the innings on my arm and stuff like that." I mean, that kid is even realizing at this point in time, because for the most part, when I was growing up, Chris, our season lasted from about now until the 4th of July. We had a picnic, and then that was right. It for baseball.
You played baseball, and then you went out and you hung out with your friends, and you did other things, and you played multiple sports. I don't even want to get down this rabbit hole, because I'll turn into 2 hours of yelling at parents for screwing up their children because they're trying to get their kid to the bigs because they never made it there, or they think they're going to make a ton of money. But I will give you this word of warning. In fact, I'll give you these words of wisdom from a 46-year-old man who has an 18-year-old now, a 16-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and all of them played sports. In fact, two of them at a high school level. And I will tell you this. The 18-year-old stopped very early on in high school playing softball, but she was a hell of a girls' softball player. She batted in the middle of the order on a state championship team when she was like 11 years old, I want to say, 12 years old. She could hit bombs. She could play. She did not play year-round, folks. She did not play year-round because she didn't need to. And when it finally ended for her, it wasn't a disappointment. She actually has, what, I want to say almost $500,000 in scholarships offered to her for academics. That's what my daughter has. From universities from coast to coast. She got more money for studying in school than anything she got for athletics. In fact, the kids that used to, their parents forced them into all these programs and made them do all this crazy stuff, they're getting offers, the majority of them, and they were like really good players. I would watch them. They're getting offers from like tiny little schools in the middle of Wisconsin, right? Division II, Division III. That's where they're getting the majority of their offers for. Most kids don't end up with a Division I collegiate offer, but their parents will just sink so much money and time in, and you're blowing their kid's arm out trying to do it or hurting them in many other ways. I mean, they are really sucking away a lot of their social skills as well because everything is organized for them. You know, it's like, hey, what are we doing this week? Just a bunch of organized sports. And then after that, go sit in front of the television. Like, it's weird. So again, I'm going down a rabbit hole here. But my word of advice to all of you is let them play and then don't worry about the other stuff. If they have like the itch to be something bigger, they'll figure it out. But back to what is going on with these pitchers. Just imagine yourself somebody who wants to be a major leaguer. Or even let's go a step further. You're a major league baseball pitcher and you see the free agent money that's handed out every year. And they use you in the early going. They use you for peanuts compared to those guys when they have control over you. In fact, they play all kinds of control games where they hold you for years and years and years. And you're out there winning games, playing a sport, getting paid a pretty good amount of money, but you know they're getting you at a value. And in the offseason, when you're sitting there thinking about your future, and the possibility of getting those big dollars, you could take some of the money that they've given you and invest it in the programs that are going to raise your speed and make you more desirable in the free agent market so you can get paid. Now, even if somebody sat down with you, your own physician, and told you, if you do this, you're going to need Tommy John someday, wouldn't you say, I don't care, because once I get that deal signed, they're going to pay me for the 2 years I recover, because I'm going to get paid eventually. Like, you've incentivized these guys to selfishly. But, I mean, why wouldn't they? You selfishly hold them down. You selfishly keep them at a lower cost than what they're actually worth. You play games with their time that they have in the major leagues and when they get to become free agents. You mess with them throughout. So why wouldn't they sit there and say, well, I want to eventually maximize the amount of money I have, so I've got to get my RPMs up because that's what they're paying for. And I've got to get my speed up. And who cares if I'm ever going to be a guy that goes 7, 8, or 9? I don't really care about that. How do I get paid? And then their arm gets blown out. And then some team is stuck with them for a couple of years while they're paying them. And do you think that they're bothered if it eats up a couple of years of their eligibility, of control too, because they go on the IL while they're on the major league roster? It doesn't bother them at all. It's almost like they expect it. Like, at some point, I'm going to go on the IL. They're going to pay me to be on the IL because I have a guaranteed deal. And I'm just going to keep doing this stuff to maximize my worth. So Major League Baseball set up a system, essentially, to incentivize pitchers to destroy their arms so they can make the most amount of money possible because nobody else is looking out for them except for themselves. And then everybody bellyaches because they lose a member or two members of their staff every year to some sort of crazy injury with their arm. That's the way I see it, right?
And it, like I said, Chris, it goes to the point of people talking about Mitch Keller's velo and it's down a little bit. And why is he throwing this cutters? And it comes on to us as well, because then we're just like, who cares? Throw 97, get all these sliders, get us good this year, and we don't care about your health moving forward. Like that's
well, I don't want him to get hurt now. See, that's the thing. He's locked in for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So now Keller in the back of his mind's like, okay, in 5 years, I'm going to want one more contract. Cause some of these pitchers pitched till they're almost 40. Right.
Yeah.
And so then the Pirates have to sit there and say, all right, we're going to work on these things now while we have your attention and you're not thinking about that next deal, and hopefully teach him how to be more of a pitcher than a thrower. Because otherwise, you know what will happen is the Pirates will end up being the ones that are taking care of him when he hurts himself and paying him. And then he'll be worth something when he comes walking out. He'll just get money from somebody else and you'll be paying for nothing. So that's the way the system is set up now with these pitchers. They're told from the very beginning, this is how you get into the majors. This is how you maximize your dollars. And if you hurt yourself while you're on the major league roster, we're going to pay you and it's going to benefit you. And if you can get those dollars and walk in with your arm just kind of hanging on by a thread, now you're good. What young kid is not going to sit there and say, okay, I'll do the offseason programs. Right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a crazy thing. And we didn't really mean to go down this rabbit hole as much as we did, but it is, you know, for the pitchers and the people that we have. You have Jared Jones, who's, we talked about before, not an extremely large guy, throwing over 100 miles an hour, throwing a wipeout slider. And it's like, well, how many bullets are in that, you know, UCL or in that shoulder, in that whatever, until something may happen, unfortunately. So I'm not saying it's going to, but
no, but
the track records show that it's going to.
Let's say that a doctor looks at him and says, you keep doing that in 5 years, you're going to probably need surgery. And he sits there and goes, well, in 5 years, they won't have control over me. I'll have signed a big deal and my next team can pay me. Because I'm going to make the money now by being so good over the next 5 years that when I walk out of here or when somebody has to pay me, I'm going to make $20 million a year. And then I'll heal because I'll be able to afford the doctor. That would be my, if I was looking at it, I'd be like, you know, Chris, if you keep throwing it this way, eventually you're going to need your arm reconstructed. And I'll be like, yeah, will I make it to my first big deal? Well, yeah, you'll probably make it to your first big deal. All right, cool. I get a year off.
It's such a weird man.
Like this, but baseball set up this system.
They did.
They set up this system, and now they gotta live with it until they can find a way to change the way that these pitchers think.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but the